Chapter 1 today, continuing, and we should finish out James chapter 1. And this verses 19 through 27 is our primary study, but we'll read verse 18 through the end of the chapter. And pay attention to this. Christians hear God's word, not only, and then the second part, Christians hear and they do God's word. And thirdly, then, Christians live out in obedience to God's word privately and publicly, as you see at the very end. But we probably won't follow that outline in the message today, but that's the gist of what's going on. Christians hear God's word, Christians hear and do, and then Christians live out God's word, what it says, publicly and privately. I'll give just a minute. Actually, that cry is perfect for this message. And I'll tell you why here in just a little bit. You'll know why. I suspect that in a moment, Samuel's going to be perfectly satisfied as he eats. And you know what we're going to get at. Samuel is created by God to want mother's milk. She didn't have to teach him that. And when we get to this part in the scripture, it speaks about the word of God planted in you. It means that no longer do you have to be taught that you need to hear God's word. Isn't that beautiful? A crying baby preached a message. He didn't have to be taught to cry to be satisfied. It's in him to want his mother's milk. You don't have to learn to desire God. If the word has been implanted in you, if it's been implanted in you, you have a new natural hunger and thirst for it. So I want to be sure to encourage Rebecca so that she doesn't feel like we ran her out, but that she would really believe that I think there is a message preached there. And if you don't remember anything else, remember that. Because if you don't have a taste for God or a hunger for God, a desire for God, you are not of God. You are not. You're something else, but you're not of God. It's that simple. Amen. James chapter 1, verses 18 through the end of the chapter. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he has created. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in all he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Let's pray. Father, we trust in you. We know that you have a word for us today, for each one of us to hear. And then not just to hear, but to obey and to do. That we might more and more and more remain close, abiding in you, being nourished and energized by you through your word. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's really a great passage because it is so simple to see how easy James is laying things out structurally. It's just good that he points out Christians hear the word. They listen. And he gives practical instruction. We'll see it here in just a moment. Christians also not only hear, but they obey, they do. And then not only do they hear and obey, but they live privately and publicly in a way, strive to live privately and publicly in a way that pleases God. And James gives very practical ways to do that. But this is such an important message, and it begins in verse 18, because we can look at verse 19 and following, and yes, we see it in most of our Bibles. It's a break in the paragraphing and all that. The NIV even has a heading above verse 19 that says listening and doing, which would lead the reader to think that when you come to the end of 18, you're transitioning into a new section, which in a way you are, because he's talking about Christian living in a third leg of what he's been talking about. He's talked about being faithful in trials, enduring through trials. He's talked about about temptation and even how to live through them. He's talked about the new birth that we have through the Word. And now in verses 19 through 27, he talks about the effect of the Word in the life of a believer to the one who has been born again. And in verse 18, remember this, what we studied last week, it was God who chose to give us new birth. He chose to give us new birth, and he did it through the word of truth. The word of truth being the gospel. As we receive the gospel, we would say, I heard the gospel and I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the question and something we talked about last week was, you hear it, but then you have to know this. You heard it for the first time because the Spirit of God was pleased to give you an ear to hear. The Spirit took the word and planted it in your heart. So when you were born again, through the word of truth, the gospel hit the mark. And through faith, you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ because you had a new life. The new life didn't come because one day you just said, you know what, I think I'll be a good boy or a good girl and I'm going to believe on Jesus. And God said, it's about time. I think I'll give them new birth. It is God chose to give you new birth. As the Spirit took the word and planted it in your heart, you hear the word for the first time and you think, how come nobody told me this before? I'll never forget a friend of mine. He was in a Sunday school class with, and Teresa was teaching it, and she was teaching on the doctrine of election. This man pounded his fist on the table, and it was really upsetting right at first, wasn't it? But he said, why haven't we ever been taught this before? He had an ear to hear the word of truth. And he rejoiced in the full gospel and the doctrines of grace and so on. But here, it's that eye-opening, ear-opening. You're awakened for the first time to this gospel that recognizes that Christ died for sinners. And in that new birth, there's a recognition that that's me. I'm a sinner and I'm in need of a Savior. And you would have never seen this had the Spirit of God not worked through the word of truth, planting that word in your heart. So the new birth, James says, it's from God. He chose to give us this new birth through the word of truth. But when we get into verses 19 through 27, verse 21 rings loudly because he speaks also about humbly accepting the word of truth that's implanted or planted in you. Receive it. And we'll talk about that in just a minute, because that's where I want to focus our time this morning, on verse 21. It's powerful. I think it's amazing. But the idea, get this, that you were born again by the word of truth. And having been born again, we continually receive the word of truth. So it's not just only this where the word only had an effect to cause you to be born again. It's the word of truth that's implanted in you that you keep drawing on, receiving, that gives you hope, delight, courage, trust, renewal, refreshment. When we talk about the word of truth, we're talking about God's word. We're even talking about the Bible. God speaks to us through the word. And oftentimes, as Christians, it becomes old to us and we don't think about it. But this is the word of truth God planted it in our hearts. But this, the Bible, the Scriptures, is how He energizes us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 13, Paul's writing to these, and he says, you received it. When we preached it, you received it, and you received it as it is, the word of truth, which works, which is at work, the word at work in your heart. It's where we got the name of, Trevor and I didn't come up with the name of the program, God's Word at Work, but Teresa and Crystal were talking, and we asked them to help us come up with a name, and it comes right out of 1 Thessalonians 2:13. It's the Word of God at work in your heart. And there's also play on words, too. The Word of God at work. And you're thinking about living the Christian life wherever you are. And most people listening may be heading off to work. So we were thinking about that. But nevertheless, it is the Word of God at work in our hearts that causes us to desire God and want to know Him and live for Him. So, keeping that in mind, James frames this whole section, 19 through 27, with that truth that it is God's Word that works in you, causing you to hear, causing you to do, causing you to live publicly and privately in a manner that would please God, as the Word of God works. He also provides caution for those who would be reading this as well, because it's easy to not have the Word at work in your life. And he helps them to see how to have the Word of God work in your life. That's what I want to know. I already know there's a number of things that keep the Word of God from working. When I love myself more than I love God. Well, James is obviously he's pointing that out. He talks about getting rid of all moral filth and so on, and evil that's prevalent. Those things are things that stifle or hinder God's work. And God's work in our hearts would cause us to do a couple of things at least. Number one, to desire God more than anything. God's Word ministering to us, God speaking to us through His Word will create in us a desire to want to please Him, to know Him best. And then secondly, to cause us to find our satisfaction and our pleasure in God. So I guess we could say it this way. The first thing would be God's Word working in our hearts causes us to desire and hunger to behold God in the person of Jesus Christ. The second, the Word of God working in our hearts would cause us to want to know Jesus Christ as our full satisfaction in life. All these things that you ever have, the things that your prized possessions, and Kurt, I turned everything off or from my end of it. Your prized possessions and everything that you delight in this world, every bit of it will come to an end. Your body, if you're like me, you stand in the mirror oftentimes going, Yes. These bodies are wasting away. And we so try to find pleasure in these bodies and the cravings of them. And James is saying, no, he's teaching a principled approach to life from the very beginning of this section. And look what he says. My dear brothers, verse 19, take note of this, take heed. Hear, he's saying, hear the word of truth. Everyone should be, just a moment. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. I think that it's wise if we read that section and complete it with the next sentence, because if we don't, we start to moralize or make a moral statement out of this, and we use it oftentimes to cause our children to stop talking, or we might rebuke ourselves. And there's wisdom in being slow to speak, or being quick to listen, slow to speak. There's wisdom in that. That's practical. And we ought to know that, but that's not the primary instruction of the passage. The primary instruction of the passage is related to the word of truth that's planted in you that he speaks about in verse 21, saying it's the word that brought you from death to life. God gave you new birth. Now this word of truth, he's saying, now listen to this. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Get rid of all moral filth and all the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly receive the word of truth which is planted in you. So, he's telling us something about ourselves. We're not always quick to receive the word. Some promises we read, and many promises in Scripture, cause us to rejoice, don't they? Our hearts are glad. But some parts of the Scriptures are not easy to receive. Oftentimes, we like to explain away a hard word or a hard saying of Scripture, don't we? We have to make it fit our systematic theology. And when we do that, oftentimes it makes us feel real good and it takes the pressure off. But he says, be quick to listen. In other words, take heed how you hear. Jesus challenged his disciples all the time. Take heed how you hear. Because you can hear in a way that twists the word. You can hear in a way that ignores the word. I mean, you can say, yes, I hear you. We were talking about it Wednesday night, weren't we? Common phrase in today's lingo. Somebody's telling you a problem. I hear you. Do you? Are you really thinking about what you want to say next? Maybe you really are listening to what they're saying, but James is saying, okay, be quick to listen, slow to speak. In other words, don't be thinking about a way to justify your own behavior or explain away that passage. Sometimes you got to squirm under the word. And take it, he's saying, take it. Listen, hear. Take heed of how you hear. Be careful of how quick you are to speak or reply, justifying yourself, explaining away your behavior, whatever it be, take it. And then he's saying, be slow to become angry. Have you ever been offended by the word? Come on!
Yeah.
I know you have. At least once. You could say, well, it was the preacher. He didn't know how to present it, so he stepped on my toes. It got me upset, but it wasn't the word. Yes, it was. Yes, and the preachers are you. God picks really the least to be preachers because he calls us, be careful how you hear. Some speakers are so eloquent, as Paul, when he was teaching through hermeneutics, He gave us some examples of such wonderful statements. Words would cascade on our ears and make us in a euphoric state as we had listened to some speakers. But their doctrine would send you to hell. But then there's other preachers, like you hear the story about when Charles Spurgeon became a believer, and I've told this story before, but Charles Spurgeon described that man that was preaching that old snowy morning as a, I can't remember his exact words, but he was not a very good preacher. He hacked up the word. He was a preaching hack. He didn't carry the word of God very well, but one thing he did, he looked at Charles Spurgeon, he said, you look miserable. And he was preaching on the text out of Isaiah. It says, all the ends of the earth look unto the Lord and be saved. And he looks at Charles Spurgeon, he says, look! 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 And Spurgeon says, I looked until my eyes practically fell out of my head. And that was a preacher that would win no awards for being a good preacher. No one would send him a note on Preacher Appreciation Month or whatever. But he was faithful to the Word, and the Word offended. But that offense, thank God for Spurgeon, the Spirit was pleased to deposit the word in his heart, and he believed and was saved. But he's telling us, because one of our tendencies is not to hear. We don't take heed how we hear. It's really hard. Listening is hard work. Take heed of how you hear. Jesus warned his disciples. He warns us today. It's not just something that was common to these believers then. It's something common to us today. If you struggle with hearing and how you hear, one of the things that you and I can do is to cry out to God, help me to hear. I want to hear a word from you. And I believe that God will let you hear a word. But you know what? Even if you don't, heed what James says, be slow to speak. In other words, be content with what you're hearing. Do you realize that every time you hear the Word of God, not at that moment will it bear fruit? Just because you hear the Word of God and you say, you know, that message did nothing for me today. That message was so-so. I don't care. You know what? I do, because I'm selfish and I like the applause of men on one hand. But when it comes down to it, I have every bit of confidence to know this. The Word implanted in you will work. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament, God sends His Word. It will not return to Him void. You may never connect it to the message you heard preached, and that's perfectly fine. But if you connect it, if it connects you in a yearning and a desire in your heart for God, then that word has worked. If a word preached causes you to love the preacher more than you love God, that wasn't a word from God. You may have respect for or think highly of the preacher, but if you're finding yourself drawn, I got to hear that guy. I got to hear that guy. He's the man of God. Repent. Go to God. Turn to Him. Run to Him. And say, God, I'm finding my attraction toward the preacher and not to you. And you know what that is indicative of? If that's where you would go, if you would turn to God and say, here's where I'm at. I'm infatuated with this great preacher. You go there, the Word of God is working in your life. Do you believe that? Because God is turning you from man to Him. That you would not trust in the arm of flesh, and God is working. The Ten Commandments say it so simple, thou shalt put no other gods before me. And oftentimes we idolize preachers, teachers, book writers, and so on. And we should thank God for them. The Scripture tells us to. But they are serving God's purpose if you are drawing closer to God. And so, James is writing to these believers, and we're recipients of this letter as well. Take note of this. Be careful how you listen. And in other words, know this, the Word of God's implanted in you. If you are in the faith, but he gives the caution to be careful about being quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because we are sinners. We have sin. We have our flesh, which opposes the things of the Spirit. And when you're thinking, am I hearing in the Spirit or am I hearing in the flesh? You can know you're hearing in the flesh when you're resisting the Word of truth. When you're not hearing right, when you're thinking, boy, I can hardly wait for that football game. You're not hearing. You're not taking heed of how you hear. And he's writing to wake up the church. Snap to it. Be careful. Jesus, when he said, take heed how you hear, he wasn't going, oh, children, take heed how you hear. He's like, come on, wake up. It's time for you. We've already read it in the Scripture. It's time for you to wake up from your slumber. That kind of a message, because the Word's been implanted in you. It's not something outside of you. It's a word outside of you that God has planted in you. It's His Word He put in. It's that Word that brought you from death to life. It's the Word that works, that you might behold the radiance of the glory of God, and that you might find your full satisfaction in Him alone. Why do you struggle with sin? Certain sins in your life. It's because you are finding satisfaction in the things, stuff, in gifts, perhaps, that God has given, but not in God Himself. I am being raked right now over this in my heart because it's true. I prayed, God, let me preach today that I hear it. So I'm going to stop. No, I'm going to keep going because I need to hear it. But careful, he knows how we are. Be careful how you hear. Take heed to it. Work hard at it. And not just on Sunday morning. If the only time you draw upon the Word of God is on a Sunday morning, you are poor. And I don't mean poor in spirit. You're pitiful. And maybe you say, well, I don't read the Bible, but I do think about the Word of God. Maybe you put Scripture to memory, and while you're working or while you're doing your chores at home or while you're out and about doing this and that, you recall a word of Scripture because you want to hear. You want to listen. You want to live a life pleasing to God. You want it. If you don't want to live a life pleasing to God, you are not in the faith. Plain and simple. You may have periods where you say, I'm mad, I'm going to do my own thing. Well, there are periods in life, but as a general rule, you want to delight in God. You were made to delight in God. You were made to find full satisfaction, full pleasure in God. That's how you were made. So he goes on to say in verse 21, this is the verse that is so powerful. He says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word implanted in you. I think it's, like I said earlier, I think it's a continuation or a combining of the same thought, and he's getting to it here at the end. Humbly receive or humbly accept the word planted in you, the word that's been implanted in you. I read a neat comparison. If you're thinking about the word implanted in you like your kidneys, you're not thinking right because your kidneys were already there. In this illustration, but if you think about this word implanted in you and humbly receive it, that is receiving it, humbly accept it, the word that's implanted in you which can save you, it's in this manner. Think about, let me back up a little bit. Remember when you were born again, the Spirit planted the word in you. When the Spirit planted the word in you, according to James 1:18, you were born again, new birth. So that happened. And he's saying this, the word is implanted in you now. Again, so to speak. You're refreshing the word of truth. Think of it then like oxygen. Because I think the word, the NIV uses the word accept. What does the ESV use? I'm pretty sure ESV says receive. Nobody has the ESV? Verse 21.
The New Living Translation says accept the word.
Accept. Mike, do you have the ESV going there today? Anybody got the ESV?
Receive.
Receive. Good. Thanks. Receive. You know what that word means? When you say receive, you receive the word of God. He says that receive it like you would a friend. Like you would your spouse if you're married. Like you would your children. Receive them. Welcome. Welcome the word. Having that attitude. Now you and I both know when he says get rid of all moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent. In other words, reject those things that are opposed to holiness. Reject them. Get rid of it. Do some house cleaning. You know in your heart where there is moral filth. I know in my heart where there's moral filth in my life. And when you know it, get rid of it and receive the word of, welcome the word of truth. You've heard the stories before. I never liked them when I was a kid because it's like, that's silly. Jesus coming to my door, knocking on my door, and I'm going to welcome him in. Oh, he comes in, he sees the magazines on the coffee table. Oh, no. And the story was, and it was right, the preacher saying, would you have those kind of magazines on your bookshelf or on your a coffee table if Jesus came in, whatever it was, use your imagination. Would you have that on the TV when Jesus would come in? You know, the answer to that is no, of course I wouldn't do that. You wouldn't welcome Jesus into your home if you hadn't yet tidied up a little bit. And I think James is saying, if you know there's a mess, tidy it up, get rid of it, but receive the word. He's not saying wait until you got it all straightened up. And that's where I think that illustration goes awry, because it's like get rid of it, but receive. Rid of it, receive. Be receiving, and as you're receiving, I wish I could do the opposite, but I'm receiving and getting rid of at the same time. Get rid of it, but receive it. Welcome the word. Welcome this word that's implanted in you. As the Spirit works through the word in you, receive it like a friend. Receive it. It's important as we receive it, accepting this word, welcoming this word that's implanted in us, knowing it is this very word that causes us to delight in God. Turn to Psalm chapter 1. Verses 1 through 3. You ever want to be strong in your faith? Would you like to be strong? Would you like to want God every moment? When you look at the characters of the Scripture, one that you can land on that you say, as far as a person I can relate to, maybe you'd pick Paul, maybe you'd pick Peter, but these men were two men that you could say this, they thought about God all the time. Do you want to be one that thinks about God all the time? Or do you want to be a 90%er? 90% of the time I'll give to God, 10% I'll take for myself. Is that what you want to be? Somebody might say, hey, that wouldn't be too bad. I surrender 90%. I surrender 90%. Old Dick Stoley, he was a preacher for 50 years. He was my neighbor. He said, I can never sing that song. He said, because I feel like I ought to sing it. I surrendered 99.9%. And he said, and you fall short of the glory of God when you think that way. Do you want to be a 50%er? You don't want to be a 50%er, but you want. Here's the thing. Because the word's been implanted in your heart, you want to be a 100%er. And you think, it's impossible. Yes, it is. With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And here's how. Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. You say, I don't have wicked counselors around me. Oh, really? What do you listen to? What do you watch? What do you read and take in? I'm not saying only read things that you agree with. I mean, Paul, we've talked about that before. You read things, you challenge yourself. Our children are being educated, and they're at times having to read things that challenge a biblical worldview, but not to trip them up, but to teach them. But what are the things that you are agreeing, that you welcome into your heart? You welcome inside. What are those things you're welcoming? So, but blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law, his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in the word of God. This blessed man finds his delight in the word of God, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, he prospers. Not so with the wicked. The blessed man welcomes the word. You were made to fellowship with God. You were made to delight in God's purposes and His pleasures. You were made, when you're born again, you were made to function in unity with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And God ministers to us through the word. And one of the things that we have to do moment by moment, day by day, is to welcome the word of truth that's been implanted in you. Do not resist the word. Take heed how you listen. Take heed how you hear. He says it in verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Don't merely listen. You and I are in danger of simply being listeners every time we sit in preaching or teaching or listening to messages or even reading our Bibles. Have you ever read a chapter and then got to the end of it and your eyes are wide open? You're thinking, what did I just read? Oh, well, I got my Bible reading in for the day. Do not merely listen. Don't just go through the motions. But you know what? If you do just go through the motions, kids, listen to this. I got something for you. Now listen carefully. Be good listeners. Are you listening carefully? If you want your mom and dad to praise you and say what a good boy and what a good girl, just open your Bibles and look like you're reading it. Now, is that right? Is that good counsel? No, because you should not live for the approval of mom and dad. You ought to live for the approval of God. So when you're just opening your Bible and you're going, well, at least I got my lesson done, they think. Do not merely listen and so deceive. Do you realize you can deceive yourself? Do you know what that word, a neat translation of that word is? Swindle. I almost swindled some of you by tricking you into teaching you how you could please your mom and dad and not please God. Thankfully, you were listening careful and you knew that wasn't right. Right, Clive? You want to read it and listen carefully to God. But he's saying, don't swindle yourselves. I mean, that'd be crazy. Do you remember that movie, Liar, Liar, with Jim Carrey? Funniest parts where he's beating himself up in the restroom. That's all I'll tell you. What are you doing? I'm beating myself up, he says, in other words. And you think, that's crazy. It's funny, but it's not funny here if you're simply reading the word and you're not taking it in or you're merely listening. It's saying, don't merely listen to the word and so swindle yourselves. Can you imagine cheating yourself out of 20 bucks? How would you do that? But he's saying you're cheating yourself, you're swindling yourself if you just simply go through the motions. Remember the rich young man Jesus talked to? Guy came up to him and said, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And man, wouldn't you love to hear that if somebody came to you? What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Oh, I got a live one. And I'm desperate for someone to be my poster child for testimony. Jesus wasn't going to give in to that. He knew what was in his heart. He goes through the whole thing and he realizes he knew the man was all about ceremonial obedience. I got my obligation done. I put my time in. What more do you want? God, I went to church. I heard a message. What more do you want? It's not enough to talk. And I'm using the old phrase, but you can talk the talk all day long and people will applaud you. But you are called to walk the walk. That's what this passage is saying. Walk it, talk it, and walk it. Do it. Listen and do it. Mr. Farnsley, Sensei Trevor, teaches this karate on Thursday night. And it's got to be frustrating when he's teaching the men because he'll show us something and we all just stand there, nodding our head like, aha, knowing what's coming next. I'm hoping sometimes he's happy with us nodding our head in agreement. He's talking about grappling, say, and putting you in some sort of a stretcher hold that about breaks your ribs or something like that. And it's like, oh, yeah, that makes perfect sense. Knowing what's coming next, we're not just going to listen, are we? He's going to make us do it. And he is so loving and so kind and able that he doesn't actually kill us. But it does hurt. But we say, how did you not break my face on that? How did you not break my arm? Because I know your threshold of pain. Pretty much is what you're saying. We listen and we do. And we are called upon to actually do what we're taught. Jesus isn't calling us to a seminar that we pay our $10, we nod our head in agreement, make him feel real good that people came out that day. He's not interested in your attendance at all. Not at all. He is not interested in your attendance today. What he's interested in, according to James, is that you would hear it and you would do it. Now, what are you hearing and what are you to do? There's got to be something right now to take home. Read the Word of God. Read the Word of God. There's one thing to do out of this message today. Read the Word of God. Hear it and obey it. Hear the message and do what is being taught in the Scriptures. Read the Word of God. You say, I don't have time. He's not interested in your attendance today. Read the Word. And then, just to round out the passage, live it publicly and privately. And he gives concrete examples of how to do that. Look after widows and orphans. Maybe we'll spend a little time next week on this section because it's highly practical. Widows and orphans, and keep yourself from being polluted by the world. Maybe it would be worth spending some time there. But today it's that simple. What are you called to do? Hear this word today, which is a call to read your Bibles. I'll give you a helpful hint. And I'm giving it to you because I have been so busy. The one thing that I have let go recently in the last couple of weeks is diligence to read the Word of God. I even had my Bible with me every day in hopes that I would do it, but I thought I'm too busy. He's not interested in my attendance. Open it. Read. You know what's a good thing to do when you're reading the Scripture? A lot of you may not need to do it. Some of you might benefit from it. Take some notes as you're reading along. If it's mental notes, take mental note. Take heed how you listen. Take heed how you hear. And it's because the Word is implanted in you, abiding in your heart, that you want to do this. Reading the Word, hearing from God, knowing Jesus better, finding your pleasure in Him. It's because the Word's been implanted. I'm closing this with this one verse. I hope I can find it. I just called it to mind. It's either John chapter 5, verse 37, or John chapter 8. Okay, it must be chapter 8. 8:37. He says to the in this conflict he's having in chapter 8 with the Jewish people that are convinced they are the people of God. They are Abraham's children, they cry out. We're Abraham's children. Who are you to be in our face? You're nobody. But listen to what Jesus said in verse 37. I'll pick up. He said, I know that you're Abraham's descendants. I know that. But it means nothing. Just like your attendance means nothing. It means nothing. He's in their face. Look what he says. Yet you are ready to kill me. Now listen carefully what he says. You're ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. The word's not been implanted in you. You have no room for it. The Spirit of God hasn't carved any place out for the word. That's why you're wanting to kill me. If today you're finding yourself not caring about the things of God, could it be because you have no room for the word in your heart? And if right now you're like, that can't be so. It can't be so. And you're cut to the heart. You know what to do? Cry out for mercy. God, have mercy on my soul. And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn from this cold-heartedness and turn to Him. But if the word has been implanted in you and you have been born again, you have a desire for God, a desire to know Him, delight in Him, and please Him, and find pleasure in Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for this day. Thank You for the day that You've given us to come and worship together as a church family, as people who have been brought from death to life, people that You have implanted the Word into our hearts. Oh, we thank You for this challenging word from James, and we ask that You administer to us this week, reminding us, especially in those moments when we're tempted to do what we've always done instead this time, that we would turn to You wholeheartedly and receive, welcome the Word that You've implanted in us as we read the Bible. Give us a great delight as we read it, as we meditate on Your Word. Give us more of a hunger to know You. May it be for us like we're breathing. Breath in, welcoming that breath. Breathing out, receiving another. May it be that way for us. Transform us, transform this church, that we glorify You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.